Online Podcast 281. That was off to a good start, wasn't it? I am out of practice. Please! I am out of practice. Welcome, ladies and gentle whores, to Online Podcast. We are in the studio. We are in the I am in the studio, and so are you. Well, I'm in your ears and in the studio recording the show. Welcome, ladies and gentle whores. It's been a long while. Last week I did a quasi show because I was sick. Yes, I had the cold, and I just didn't feel like talking too much. And so I played a few things for you. I played the documentary or the making of the video here in my home. And that actually had, that project actually had become my, yesterday. Well, today's Sunday. I'm recording this. You're hearing it on Monday or whenever you download this show and listen to it. I recorded this on a Sunday, but yesterday, on the Saturday, I actually spent many hours playing with the recording of here in my home. It's not done yet, but I may actually give you a little bit of a sample of what it's sounding. This is a song that you probably heard last week, but here's some of the first round of recordings, which sucked because I did all that recording and then went back and mixed it, and I accidentally deleted a few tracks. Hate it.
But I am strong and you ain't heavy. Oh, there's a misspoken truth that lies. Colors don't bind, oh no. What do they
and for
know?
Those of you who do not know this track, if you didn't listen to last week's show, this is a track that following the election in Malaysia, the racial tension got a little bit escalated. And a group of artists got together and actually tried to sort of rekindle the whole Malaysian spirit again. One of those spirits that I think most of the younger generation have. Not all, because I have heard a very racist thing from even my generation, so generations younger. And it is getting better, but still not quite there yet. So this is the project to remind people in Malaysia that, you know, unity is possible, and we are working for and fighting for that spirit. So that's what this project is all about.
Don't you know it now or never?
I will actually officially release this when it's all done, but that's part of the recording that you're hearing here. I did some recording, like I said, yesterday, and that was a bit of it. Anyway, it's very odd. Today's mood, I usually do a show, and before I start, I try to think of perhaps what I'm feeling, capture that moment. It is a slice of life that you're getting. And today's is a bit odd. I won't go into detail. Don't you hate that line? It pretty much is, what I'm trying to say is, listening to podcasts and creating podcasts for the last 4 years have been a great experience for me, both as an individual as well as in a personal level, as well as hopefully trying to do something greater than the personal level. And what I'm trying to say here is that you gain some things and you do lose some things. And I have definitely gained a whole lot more. I've gained many, many friends, and there are going to be the negative that comes with the package. And essentially, this happened in many, many cycles already, and I have witnessed and been in several cycles. Essentially, to put it in a very crude way, it's a circle jerk. meaning you are talking about other people's podcasts, other people's podcasts are talking about your podcast, and then blah, 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 blah. If something happens, boom, you're not friends anymore, and then you start a fight. And I've listened to a podcast that Chef Mark put out, and he summed it up, and I think he summed it up well, and whether or not we are on the same place is a whole different deal. Because I was, he talked about, if you do listen to him, he talked about there's a fiasco back in April, and that was something that I think also I briefly mentioned on my show, but I don't want to go into details because I just find that to be so unproductive, and I just don't want to be a part of it, and I don't want other people to be a part of it, but I can't control other people, you know, how they want to react to things. And in fact, ironically, he mentioned something about a group of friends that, well, I don't know. Anyway, he just thinks that it's just on petty things, wasting a lot of times, and I totally agree. And he may not be on the same page as I am as far as what he's talking about. We may not be on the same side even. I don't know. Because the petty things is not caused by me. I just refuse to be a part of it. And whichever side he or they or whoever's on, it doesn't matter as long as we put things in perspective. So I think that was key. And I totally agree that when you are in a situation like this, you go back to the source of why you are creating podcasts to begin with, and move on and stay away from the petty things. Because I just think that it's such a waste of time and energy to be spending on things that is unproductive, and it's just not wise, I think. And so that said, another thing, you know, the good and bad that comes with this medium, podcasting, is that we are all individuals and we are all very small, but you suddenly have a voice that is louder than your usual normal voice, and therefore you suddenly gained a lot more power. At the same time, a lot more opportunity for people to criticize you or to say bad things about you. Same thing comes on the other side. Then you have opportunity where you get all those praises, you know, such as appreciation from people, such as this voicemail that I'm going to play. Take a listen to Whitney. Leaving me this message.
Hey, John. This is Whitney.
Hi, Whitney.
How are you? I don't know what came over me today, but I just felt the urge to call you and say, keep smiling for some reason. Hello.
Thank you.
You have a good fortune for the day, just to keep smiling.
Thank you.
I am on vacation with my friend, so I'm out of town. I helped her move into her new apartment, and there is no internet and no TV, and I'm going mad. But thank God for my iPod, so I'm listening to past podcasts that you have done, and that's actually keeping me occupied for today while she goes to work.
See how sweet that is? You know, a small project, that simple recording that I just happen to be doing in my basement, touch another person that you otherwise would not have if it is not through podcasting. So it can be very powerful, but it also opens up a lot of other things that comes with it, and we all just have to learn how to deal with it. But this is happened to be a positive thing.
So all day I'm here doing nothing but listening to my dear John. So I need my John fix, because I know you have put up some new podcasts and I'm not able to download them. And I just got sad.
I think if she's home, though. We've exchanged emails.
Send some hugs, some kisses.
Thank
some
you.
Modrin, some Tylenol, something to keep me occupied until I get home, because I miss hearing my John.
Aww.
Anyway, John, I hope you have a wonderful day. And
thank you.
Keep smiling and whatever it is. You know,
keep smiling.
Keep smiling. That kind of
don't
thing.
Forget to smile, know, ladies.
Okay, John. Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Oh, love
Bye.
You too. Sweet, sweet things. You know, listeners, amazing. And typically, that is in general the general typically that is the general what should I say reaction from most people. But you know, the bad things do happen, but we can't control that, so we're not gonna dwell in that. But on the same realm of things, again, I'm going to reiterate that there is a gay, lesbian, transgendered, bisexual community that I'm involved with, because simply that I am Malaysian, and I helped a group of bloggers started a website called Tilted World, and it can be found at tiltedworld.org. T-I-L-T-E-D, tilted as in not so straight, you know, tiltedworld.org. Go there and check out the blog, especially if you're Malaysian or if you just want to, if you're interested in gay rights all over the world. That is a good website. In fact, it's a good website for me to really get a sense, get an understanding of what the gay community is in back home in Malaysia. And I am in touch with, and I hopefully will be able to chat with a few people regarding gay issues in Malaysia that I do not personally have the opportunity to experience since I'm not physically there. So check out tiltedworld.org. Give us, you know, the support. Tell other people if you are a Malaysian, and I do know there are several Malaysians who do check that out. Now, it's not just for the GLBT community. GLBT, for those of you who are not gay, GLBT means, we sometimes call it LGBT, GLBT, lesbian, gay, transgendered, and bisexual. And, oh, that was not BT, that's TB. You know, I don't care, you know, what comes first. It's the same thing, it's a whole community. Some people, the newer term is queer, meaning just not, just different, you know, from the other people. Queer used to be not a good word, but apparently the younger generations are embracing it much better. So it depends. I respect whatever you want to call it, but I'm calling it LGBT. And that community is important. I mean, we need to, and we meaning Malaysians, need to have that community presence out at least on the web, because other forms of presence is just impossible and almost, it's difficult and almost impossible is what I'm trying to say. And therefore, on the web, it would be a very good source for people to go to. So if you do, if you are Malaysian, whether or not you're gay, or if you just want to be supportive of the gay community, then go to tiltedworld.org and tell all your friends about tiltedworld.org. And I was having, this week I had a great time. I spent some time with my best pal, Michael, and it gave me the opportunity to rediscover our friendship, and I have friendships, closer friendships, very, very few close friends, not because I'm mean or it's just I have very, very, I have many good friends. It's just that I don't have that very, very, like, close, like, best pals. And for the longest time, I did not have any except for Bruce. And I still consider Bruce my best friend still. He's the one that I can go to and talk about things without any filter. And unless the, you know, the matches and the issues are with him. Then, of course, then you need other best friends to talk to. It doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, you still need your own friends. But because we can talk about issues, every issue is like anything. It's sometimes not easy, but we can talk about everything. I really don't have the need to find a third person to talk to when it comes to issues like that, because usually we can work it out. But there are times that there are things that he's not interested in that I will be able to find other friends to talk to, such as Steve a year ago. It took me a while to recover. A year ago, we were very close. A little bit over a year ago, we were very close, and we talk almost every day. Blah blah blah. And I do enjoy. And he actually helped me get out of a pretty nasty depression due to my weight, and not weight as in I'm obese or anything, but I do have weight issues that I struggle with, big scale or small scale. And so he helped me out, and then Michael's been my, very good friend for a long time, but since she was far away and we usually only talk every once in a while, now that she's moved back in town where I very close to my work actually, we do see each other more, and I'm slowly, and I'm enjoying that relationship back to my life even more. And it comes in a very apt time because, things do change and whatever it is, Steve has a very different, I don't know, schedule or whatever. I don't know. I haven't communicated with him for a long time. It took me a long while to actually be able to swallow that, the fact that we don't even email. I sent him an email. I don't know whether he gets it, whether or not he's still using that email, but we haven't been in communication. And funny thing is, I know Nick Thomas talk about not, I mean, he's crazy. You don't have to worry about that, Nick Thomas. I'm not doing this for ratings. He said, and I don't even, I think you have a lot, you have a larger audience than you, listeners than you actually really think, because I get a lot of hits from your website, coming over to my website because of you talking about me. Circle jerk. But we have this really interesting relationship, Nick Thomas and I. We are not one of those circle jerk podcasters where we, becomes, close friends in real lives and all that. We kept a distance, but at the same time, there are many things that he talked about in his shows, and his show is not for everyone because he talks very honestly and very openly. And since I'm so intrigued by this specific genre of podcasting called the personal journal, that I am so drawn to his podcast because he doesn't filter and he just, say it as, whatever it is. He doesn't really care what people think of him. He does care what people think of him, but he doesn't filter that. So he just let it out and see what comes of it. And so he's going through the same thing. And finally, his friend name is also Steve, who is out of his life suddenly, and very similar can be said to my Steve, who is at least right now not in my life at all. And it took me a oh my gosh, it was I don't have a close friend like that, other than Bruce, who was actually turned it was also my partner, my lover, and so things a little bit different there. He's always available, My lover is always available for me, and sometimes your good friends are not because they have their own lives, and they cannot always devote their time to you, and things do change. Of course, it took me more than a year to really recover from that because I was really hurt because I thought it was all about me. Oh my gosh, it's all about me. Oh my gosh, she's not talking to me. Oh my gosh, she's not emailing, replying my email. It's all about me. And it takes lessons like this to sometimes, hopefully, going into the next opportunity to have a close friend, I would be able to know better. I'm thankful for Steve. I'm thankful for the moments that we had before. I was very bitter, and I didn't want to admit that, but I was very bitter. And finally, I'm finally, is that a word? Please, let me check on that Google, please. The weird thing is that Nick Thomas is going through a very bitter p period as well, and it is very difficult to give people advice when it comes to something that personal. Not even, this is not romantic, this is just merely best pals, good friends that you used to hang out with. And it's difficult. Actually, funnily is actually correct. Yeah. Funny, and you can say funnily, yeah. Okay, it's an adverb. Is it adverb here or whatever? You don't care. You're not here for English lessons. If you do, you tune into the wrong show. English? Yes, not English. So Nick Thomas is going through, and you if you want to check out Nick Thomas's podcast, you can. It is nickthomas.org. You can also go to iTunes and search for Nick Thomas. Not everybody's cup of tea, let me warn you now. But if you're interested in personal journal, that is one of the most interesting. Sometimes he thinks it's crap, but I think it's very well put together. But those are the podcasts that I really like, and hopefully I'm also sometimes doing. Another thing that I want to talk about regarding that is, and it's been a while since 2 weeks ago when I was taking that walk, I really enjoyed that podcast. It was very cathartic for me, very therapeutic for me. And you never know whether or not that those kind of podcasts is going to be liked or it's going to do anything. But, you know, I'm just putting whatever that slice of my life out there. But I also listen to other podcasts, and I find my observation is you really can study human being from listening to podcasts. I think another podcast I listen to, here's another circle jerk, but I'm just telling you what podcasts I enjoy. What the hell is that podcast called? Anti-Vera Charles. Anti-Vera Charles, that is another podcast I listened to. And he had mentioned, that's the name of the show, and he calls him Anti-Vera Charles. But Anti-Vera Charles is an actor, a voice actor in California, and he mentioned something about I forgot what I was going to talk about. He mentioned something. Well, anyway, I'm going to come back to her. Him. It. He's also a co-host of Eat This Hot Show, which I also love. And in that show, in her show, as well as in Eat This Hot Show, you can see this pot of various flavors. And I don't know. I absolutely enjoy this hot show just because you have conflicting opinions, you have conflicting personalities, you have conflicting issues, or not conflicting issues, but different issues. But at the same time, we are bound together by podcasting, and also most often, our homosexuality or our queerness, our bisexuality, our whatever the, you know, transgender issue and all that. And that is so exciting to me. I don't know whether you find that interesting or not, because I definitely find that to be the best way of understanding each other's is to be able to pull different people and be able to sit down and chat and talk to each other about your differences. And needless to say, those people, podcasters, who are mostly very vocal, otherwise they would not have picked this medium, very vocal, and tend to be opinionated. And if you put those personalities together and a little bit of an ego strokes every now and then from listeners like, you know, listeners like Whitney, you tend to be together and want to blow up if you have conflicting opinions. And I think we have to relearn, and I'm not telling you what to do, I'm just out my observation. You can tell me to go to hell or whatever, I don't really care. I find that we haven't been able to coexist if we have different opinions. And that is reflected through, I don't know how that comes about. I don't know whether the polarization of political views have contributed to that, or is that just the trend in general in society? If you have a different opinion and if you voice it, you are then an outcast. And it happens on both sides, whether or not you're liberal when it comes to political stance, whether or not you're liberal or you're conservative, there's always going to be those people in between. And you are going to find people that you can get along, people that you are enjoy being with, but at the same time find different things, within that person that you may not be agreeing with. And this last week when I went out with Michael and I are so similar. I mean, she is like a female. Michael is, for those of you who are new, there might not be any, but those of you who are new listening to this, maybe 10 years from now, whatever, Michael is a very, very close good friend of mine whom I met many, many years ago when we went to college together. She's from Japan. She's now married, and we are now back in the same city, so we get to see each other more. And I've always enjoyed her friendship, and she is honestly a very true and genuine and generous friend of mine. And I try to do the same for her as well. And she knows. I mean, we don't need that. I mean, we know our friendship that we have for each other is true and it's genuine. And so she and I went out and I like to get into conversations. This is the part where I think sometimes Bruce doesn't quite enjoy there. There were days that he just, I don't want to go into all that. I like to go into conversations that is challenging and at the same time a bit uncomfortable. And Michael and I, she is one of the perfect candidates for that. And those guests who agreed to come on my program. Also like that, I also know that even though I'm very friendly, and I am in real life, and you can ask many of my listeners whom I've met and my real life friends, I'm very friendly, but at the same time, I'm not shy away from asking challenging questions. So I had this wonderful conversation with Michael, and I wish that night wouldn't end so quickly. About various different topics, some we agree on, some we don't, some she completely doesn't get it, and some I don't get it. The main thing is that we embrace our differences and we accept and respected each other's differences. I don't know whether that is going to happen at all. I thought we used to have that politically, and I think that may come back. We're sort of swinging the whole pendulum thing. You're swinging from the right to the middle and maybe to the left and then back to the middle again and then all that. Hopefully that's going to happen again because I think that is affecting friendships too. True friendships, through podcasting, there are friendship established. And I say friendship lightly, really. You get into the sense of you are friends. And I like to think so too, but really, if you're only getting to know one side, if you like, say, you've listened to somebody, even if you listen to each other's program, if you're both podcasters, you're not going to know that person very well. Even after a long period of time, you may not necessarily be truly friends. And so, your podcasting friends, I have my friends spelled with a Z and friends spelled with a DS. And I'm not demeaning any of those friendships that friendships that I get to know through podcasting, but I'm just saying that it's not going to be the same. And that very well could be, and I think it is the case with myself and Steve is we are very similar in many things, and I was there when he needed me, he was there when I needed me. But at the same time, the whole friendship was based on long distance, because he's in England and I'm here. And I think a lot of times that can be the cause of a somewhat a smaller scale of friendship, which I enjoyed. I have no regret on anything that we've had. And if you ask me, he is still friends. If I have the opportunity to talk to him, I'm sure he would agree that we're still friends. And we've met in person, and so that sort of, we always say that that solidify our friendship, you know, because we've met in real life. And so I think I'm not making too much sense. What I'm trying to say is there are many different levels of friendship, especially if you're going through online podcasting or whatever. There are friendships that may turn out to be great. That friendship may just not last very long. And that is totally fine. but even if in real lives, there will be people having conflicting ideas. And the reason why I started with this conversation was because I was listening on the way home from work today. I was listening to a podcast and on Archer's podcast, and there was a bunch of people talking about different ideas about gun control and all that. And that's great. And I really appreciate that conversation. And I just think that people, and it looks like they are, and hopefully they are, and we just cannot expect everybody to agree with us. And in order to gain respect from those people who do not agree with me, I would have to give them the same amount of respect to them so that hopefully they would respect as much back. And if they don't, then the problem is theirs and not mine. I should do what I think is right. Sure, I'm still having recovering from my cold still, and I still have my cough every now and then. But those are my two cents. I don't even know why. I'm just sitting down, turning on my microphones and reflecting what I, the emotion and what things that I that was going through my mind. I'm at that, I don't know, maybe it's my age or whatever. I'm going through this whole period of learning to be compassionate, whether or not to be compassionate. Learning to be compassionate, whether or not you are on the same boat, whether or not you are agreeing with each other on things. And of course, you know, with the election year coming up, obviously the main thing right now in many people's mind is your political view. You may disagree with somebody so passionately that you cannot stand their face. I think it's only human that you react that way. But I think also because we are a human being, we can try to be civil. And therefore, we probably should go one step further to embrace that we are disagreeing with each other. You voice your opinion, but you give the person the same respect that you request of your request or you think you yourself deserve it. Hopefully that would exist. I don't know whether I'm in a fantasy land, and you know, some of you may tell me that I'm in a fantasy land, but I think that that is the only way to exist, though, because you're not going to be able to find people who are agreeing with you all the time. And it's very rare that you will find when you have friends, when you have close friends, it's most close friends are being filtered, and therefore you probably have friendship you have very close friends who are very similar to you, your viewpoints and all that. That's not going to be an issue. But when you go into either workspace or, you know, other realms and find that you have to interact with other people who have different opinions than you then have to learn how to respect each other. I think that sort of respect requires more work than respecting your friends who are mostly agreeing with you anyway. So I don't know why I've gone into this topic, but I did. And I want to, sometimes I say this for myself and not for you. I want this podcast, this thing that I get very tired, and especially lately with my cold and everything, I get very tired about preparing things and doing things for the show, and I always have to have this going back to the reason why I do a podcast, for the smaller reason of being using this as a place for me to sit down and think out loud and force myself to have a half hour or 45 minutes of quiet time and being able to sit down and think for myself. And then the greater picture is that I want this to be, hopefully down the road, if it helps one person to either get them thinking or agree or disagree with me, and then get them thinking. Especially when it comes to the gay community in Malaysia, I just have this personal quest of putting my life out, it's not everything, but a slice of my life out there in the public. Hopefully, it's going to touch, and I know that I have touched people's lives. It sounds like so woohoo, almighty. But no, and I'm doing this for a reason. And my bigger and more selfless reason is that I have gone through certain things growing up gay in a Catholic family in Malaysia, Chinese Catholic family in Malaysia. So I've gone through things, and there are people out there who will not know where to go to, who to talk to when they are struggling with their sexuality. And hopefully my presence, just, you know, the fact that I'm out there, even though I'm not talking about gay topics, gay issues, my being out there hopefully will be able to be of a source of inspiration or courage to go through what they have to go through. And better yet, skipping what they have to go through, because they know that I'm still okay. You know, I'm an okay human being. I'm getting more and more compassionate toward people who do not have the environment to be who they are. When I was coming out, oh my gosh, how much time do I have? Gosh, wasted a bunch of time. When I was coming out, it was a very empowering moment and sometimes scary. And then I've gone through the whole scariness, and then it becomes more and more comfortable. And after I've come up to my parents, to my family, it becomes more and more empowering, to the point that I feel a little bit cocky. You know, you feel like, why don't you come out to your family members? Why don't you come out at work? Why don't you do that? You should be proud of yourself for being gay. And yes, I do understand it. And I think in an ideal world, don't we all want this? But as I'm involved with the gay Malaysian gay community, that allowed me to really rethink of what environment you're in. And I am in the United States of America. Many, 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 many people that I spoke to who are now in Malaysia want to be outside of Malaysia so that they can be a little bit freer of who they are. There's a lot more work to be done in the USA, but that is, you know, that is being done. But at the same time, I just want you to get a perspective, especially for those of you who are in America and living, grew up in America and grew up in an environment where you can be who you are fairly easily. Of course, we want that, and that's the whole reason why I'm doing this, is I want that to happen in the future. But just being involved in this Tilted World project get me realize that there are many, many very talented and strong voices out there who suddenly become this small person who are afraid because somebody's this person's sister or brother may find out that they're gay. But at the same time, they're out there writing very strong and empowering political blogs. Does this make them fake? No. And that is something that I think those fortunate ones sometimes can pass the judgment very quickly, that you should practice that yourselves. And I'm not you know, disencouraging you from coming out. I'm just saying that there are people in a certain environment who are more fortunate than others to be who they are. And you will be the person to know whether or not it's time for you to do so. That said, I also will have to say that there has to be somebody, and I've seen some people who are very vocal, even in Malaysia, of gay rights. Very, very small community, very, very small group of people. And that's just because it's very difficult to be in that environment, to be completely out. But you have to be able to step outside of your comfort zone. If everybody stays and remain in their comfort zone, there's not going to be Stonewall. There's not going to be the liberation of the gay rights and all that. It's not going to happen if everybody wants to stay in their comfort zone. And it's all up to you. It's your personal choice how much you want to do. And I feel like I am in a situation and in a position where I have the luxury of being able to be quite out in everything I do. And with some things jeopardized. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm completely okay with my being so out. I'm out at work. I'm out at pretty much everything. Like even at church, I'm out. And that's a whole different conversation, which I need to get Irene back to chat with me. There are things that's jeopardized, and I really appreciate how supportive my family, the entire family is to me with my openness and outspokenness of my being gay. One example is that I run a fairly successful podcast called the Penang Hokkien, penanghokkien.com. It's a funny chat show. We talk about anything under the sun in our dialect, the dialect that I grew up with, my first language. Even though it's a dialect, but I consider it a language, a Chinese dialect, Hokkien. And so I'm very open with my sexuality there. I say my husband in the show, referring to Bruce. I tell people that, oh my gosh, that guy's hot. Everything, I'm just being like a complete me. Maybe a little bit more energy than usual. I usually typically record 3 shows at the same time. By the end of the show, I usually get very tired because I have to be up all the time. And so a little bit more than my usual self just to keep the energy up. But it's pretty much me. And I want that to be not the neon I am gay on my forehead thing. But at the same time, there are people who come to the website, enjoy the shows, found out that I'm gay, and I was like, oh, okay, you're gay. Hopefully, that would get them thinking. If they're not comfortable with my being gay, maybe now is an opportunity for you to learn about my sexuality and learn that it's not such a big threat after all. So, but at the same time, I'm rather known in Penang. Penang is a small island, so it's not a huge community. But when I went back, I actually was recognized on the streets. I was people know me, know who I am, and my parents. And I may very well be putting them into a very awkward position, but they are very happily and willingly walking this journey with me. I appreciate that, but at the same time, I have to consider that, and I take that risk to be a little bit out there so that people can see me and know that, you know, this gay person running this rather successful podcast. And I want people to know that. And there are links, you know, from Penang Hokkien over to my online podcast. And so there will be people who are, over here listening to online because they heard of that through Penang Hokkien. So that's my quest. And I get tired sometimes, and I am in that very tired mode right now where I'm not going to stop podcasting. I'm not going to fish for that. Please. I'm not stopping podcasting. I'm just saying that I'm very tired and sometimes I don't know what I want to talk about. I feel like I'm just babbling, which is exactly what happened for the last show. But maybe, perhaps, one person would find that to be beneficial or thought-provoking. And that said, I am going to end the show. And hopefully you would come back again to check out my my podcast in next week. Who knows? I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. And you're just going to have to find that out yourself. And come back to online podcast next week. I don't know what I'm going to talk about, really, frankly. Just come back and check it out. In fact, I'm going to post a video podcast hopefully this week. So check back frequently, onlinepodcast.com. There's photos, there's blogs, all that happened at onlinepodcast.com. You can call me at 206-888-JOHN. That is my comment line that you heard Whitney leaving me a message from. 206-888-JOHN, leave me a voice comment there. And you can also write me at ongline@gmail.com. That is onglinepodcast.com. And until next week, have a wonderful week. And don't forget to smile. Bye, ladies.